Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Elise Stefanik, when we talked the last time, we ended on an interesting note. You said you think that the press might cover women differently than they cover men, if I'm not putting words in your mouth. What do you make of that?
Well, I think that it was interesting for me because I was such a young, an atypical candidate in that you don't typically have a 29-year-old woman who's not married and she's running for Congress. That's not the typical candidate when you think of congressional candidates. And in the initial coverage of the campaign, what was interesting to me is that it always had my age next to my name,
yep,
and it always talked about how I was a young woman running for Congress. You wouldn't read that if it was a young man who's 29 also running. I also found that there was coverage of the fact that I wasn't married before. There are a lot of men on the younger side who aren't married and are in Congress, and it's not an issue. And then the third aspect that I think is a little bit different is the focus on appearance. More challenging, I think, as a woman to be in the public spotlight because so much of the focus unnecessarily isn't on the substance of what you're saying, but just side comments and articles about the attire at different events. There's one that I think of pretty interestingly, and it's been somewhat of a joke now, but I wear patterned tights sometimes in the wintertime.
Yeah.
And they're very tasteful. It's very typical of someone in their late 20s or early 30s to wear black patterned tights or any color patterned tights. And they covered that in a few news articles. And in some of the endorsement meetings that I went through, people would comment on my attire. And it's funny because since then, other women in Congress who are older than me, they've started wearing patterned tights too because they now realize it's fashion forward. So it's just interesting. I think that's different, but I think that having women elected officials talk about that double standard is helpful to make the media kind of think twice about what they're writing and really think about, you know, who's on their editorial staff? Are they having enough balance in terms of the types of questions that they're asking and the people in the room making decisions about endorsements and, you know, figuring out what the subject of the interview should really be about?
Can you imagine what Hillary Clinton's going through right now? Hairstyle is huge on what they're writing about her.
It's interesting. Even if you look at Secretary Clinton's Twitter profile, she talks about, she kind of embraces it. She has had many hairstyles, and she's a pantsuit aficionado, which is on her Twitter description that the campaign controls. So it's an issue for every female candidate, from presidential candidates all the way on down to local candidates.
So what does it come down to? I mean, here you are, brilliant, Harvard. What's behind the whole thing? Are women still regarded as chattel? What is the deal?
No, I think there's a few challenges. I think one is the challenge of raising money is very difficult. And what I've really tried to cultivate in other candidates who are seeking to run for office is doing the hard work early in reaching out to your network. I found that if you look at the donors across the country, while women are the majority of voters, they're certainly not the majority of donors. And this goes for low-dollar donors all the way up to the higher-dollar donors. I think that women candidates need to reach out in their own communities and their colleagues, and particularly women who may not have given to campaigns before, and try to talk them about why it's important. I think another lesson that I've learned I read Sheryl Sandberg's book, actually, in 2013 when it came out, and it was during a pretty formative time as I was thinking about running for Congress. And one of the lessons that she talks about in her book is that if you have a list of 10 qualities, this is for a job, a candidacy, any type of professional, you know, step up. If you have a list of 10 qualities, if a guy has 5 of them, he will internalize and typically say, great, I have 5, I'm halfway there, I can learn the other 5. What happens with women, and I've felt this myself, is we'll look at the list and say, shoot, we only have 5 qualities, we need to work hard to have 10, so we're not ready for the next step. And I'm trying to teach other women who are thinking about running for office that, yes, even if you have five or six of the qualities, you can learn the last three. You should focus on how you can build those certain attributes, and you can be ready. It can be part of the process. Because ultimately, running a campaign is an extraordinary learning process.
But how do you get away from patterned tights? In other words, skirts, patterned tights, hairdos, what color lipstick? I mean, is that reflective of something that is, well, frankly, malignant in the society?
I think it's up to the media to, first of all, I think it's important for more elected officials like me to call it out when it happens. Secondly, I think it's really important for the media to think hard about what they are covering. I have some great press outlets in my district that are really focused on the substance of my legislation, and I'm really proud that that's what they are focused on. I also think that in the world of social networks and Twitter and Facebook, sometimes that type of, you know, quick writing about what people look like, it's a different media landscape than it was 10 years ago. You know, it's much more picture and image based.
Yeah.
So I don't mind it. I just think it's important to identify it so the media starts paying a little bit closer attention.
Did you go to Albany Academy?
I did.
What was that like? And how did that prepare you?
I loved my experience at Albany Academy for Girls. My parents actually transferred me there in the middle of fourth grade. I had gone to, I've actually gone to a public parochial and then Girls Academy. And then I stayed there from the middle of fourth grade until my senior year. And they transferred me. I was not a happy student at my previous school where, I was bullied. I was the smaller girl in the class and kind of quiet back then. And my parents were really desperate in giving me needing to find another environment pretty quickly. So in the middle of fourth grade, I visited Girls Academy. I did a tour. They match you up with a buddy. And I remember it was a Friday, and I hadn't taken the entrance exam. Or I had taken it, but they hadn't gotten my results. And I came home that day and was so excited. I loved it. I loved the experience. And my parents actually told the school, we're getting the uniform. She's enrolling on Monday. And they said, well, wait, we didn't even get the results of the test. And they said, she's coming no matter what. So they really embraced me. I had exceptional teachers there. I still keep in contact with many of my teachers, and the writing skills and the communication skills that I had at Girls Academy really set me off course, and I wouldn't be where I am today if it weren't for my parents' involvement, but also my teachers and what they've done to really help every student with whatever their passion is to have the confidence to reach for opportunities that are beyond kind of the typical opportunities that may exist.
We only have a second here, so tell me, is John Boehner going to stick with it, or are the rumors we're hearing that he's going to dump out true?
I don't know. What I find in D.C. is a lot of times there's rumors that go around about the political jockeying. I think Speaker Boehner is here to stay. He certainly has the support of Republicans in the conference. And if you look at his record, he actually has quite a strong record since I've been here of passing legislation on a bipartisan basis. Not only the DHS bill, but the Doc Fix, which has been a really important issue for seniors and Medicare and physicians, that was passed with bipartisan support. So, as far as I'm concerned, Speaker Boehner is here to stay, and I proudly voted in support of him.
We love talking to Elise Stefanik, a Republican in office since 2015. When we come back the next time, Elise, I guess I need to know about, Iran.
Okay.